With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dakota Wood of Heritage. Dakota, good afternoon. Thanks for joining the Annie Fry Show again.
Hey, it's good to be with you. They brought in the A-team, huh?
Well, don't tell Annie that. I'm like the C-plus. No, it's great to be back here. I think we've talked a couple times before, Dakota, mm-hmm. And I know a lot of your I get to interview a lot of your colleagues over there at Heritage when I fill in for some of the other folks here throughout the week. So, Dakota, I want to get to that Trevor Noah clip, but let me first ask you mm-hmm. about the big news of the day. I'm going to ask you about it, Dakota, because unless you're watching the big Fox, you're not seeing it much reported anywhere else, or it's being reported as a distraction, according to Nancy Pelosi. And that's this new peace deal that the president has announced between Bahrain and Israel. Dakota, isn't this a big deal, not just for the United States, but for not just for the Middle East, but for the world?
It's a deal that a succession of presidents going back to the 1970s has been trying to put together. And for whatever reason, we can go into those, unable to do so. And then here we have Donald Trump. And he does not just the Israel-Bahrain, but, you know, a little while back, the Israel-UAE deal. And it opens the door for the big player, for Saudi Arabia and some of the others to come in. And the Trump administration was able to bypass the Palestinian issue and really take it to the heart of the ruling classes in all of these Arab countries and saying, look, what's in your long-term interest? And it's the art of the deal, right? It's flipping around, trying to find out what the interests are at, and it's solving a problem that has been in that part of the world for decades. And I think it is huge, and it's a crime that the other news outlets aren't covering this.
And Dakota, let's drill in to the why a little bit more. You made some references there, but you know we've had some presidents previously who've worked on this who had a lot of chutzpah, were bigger than life characters, like Ronald Reagan, like Bill Clinton, like Barack Obama. They had their own little cults of personality. They were forces of nature. You don't become president unless you've got some of that. But what was it? What is it about Donald Trump that he's been able to cut through all that? What has he brought to bear? I mean, and Dakota, let me back up for a second. The media and the left have been telling us for 4 years that Donald Trump is deranged. He's a hypocrite. He's a bully. He should be removed from office because he's insane. Obviously, none of that is true. What was it about Donald Trump that he was able to cut through the clutter and get these agreements in place?
So I think this is stating an obvious point, right? He thinks in unconventional terms. Mm. So if you follow the standard playbook of foreign policy experts and those that have been in this business for a long, long time, you get the same answers, right? And so you have Trump that comes in and he says, look, you guys have been trying to do these sorts of things for 40 or 50 years. And where that has led us to is a militarized Western Pacific with China, revanche with Russia, a nuclear power in North Korea and Iran that is just all over the map in the Middle East. You tell me how your approach has really gotten the results that everybody says we want to get. So let's try something different. So it's an outsider who comes in with a different way of thinking, a different behavior, right? Instead of clinking teacups in Parisian salons, he takes people to task. He calls out the ineffectiveness of the German government, the weakness of the British military, All these sorts of things. And it causes dissension and friction because nobody likes to be told that what they've been doing has been ineffective. And so it's this very kind of in-your-face approach that breaks things up and enables him to recognize opportunities or to create opportunities that weren't there before. So in times past, you had the Palestinian Authority, the Yasser Arafat, and all that stuff that was going on. You had an economic picture there in the Middle East. That has changed. And I think a big lever in making this change is Trump's policies to gain energy independence for the United States. So he can now say and do things and push initiatives. Well, we're not dependent on the Saudis or anybody else turning off the oil spigot. You remember the oil line, the gas lines in the 1970s and elsewhere, right?
Absolutely.
So when you have control of your own key resources, it gives you freedom to maneuver and to be able to say and do things that weren't possible in an earlier era. And this really showcases the connectedness, right, on how you can see a larger picture on trade policy that benefits the United States, energy policy that benefits the United States, and really re-strengthening the U.S. military that gives us confidence to go out and do things that other administrations have not been able to do or willing to do. And we see a different set of outcomes.
That's the America First agenda, and the left doesn't understand it. They don't think their policy exists, but I think that's the one that we've seen develop. Dakota, from what you've heard, in D.C. in the area, are there more deals? Are there any more in the works? Do you know? Is there any indication that the president is working overtime on this issue?
Well, you know, he loves to give hints, right? And part of that is gamesmanship. You know, you keep people kind of on edge and expecting, and you get to another big point, whether it's the upcoming general election or maybe it's closure on some other agreement that you're trying to get in place. You know, he has to keep in mind what's Russia's position in the region, what is Turkey doing with respect to Greece and in North Africa, China with its Belt and Road Initiative, trying to get economic agreements in place with members of the European Union. So all of these cards are on the table. And what he's doing is showing actual wins that open the door for other wins. Now, is there a deal with Saudi Arabia and Israel in the offing in the next week or two? I don't know that. But what we are getting is indications from the administration that they are working this issue behind the scenes. And oftentimes you have something that you put out that's a small win in the big scheme of things because it makes it possible to get the larger win. And so I think this UAE deal and the Bahrain deal with Israel opens the door for Arab countries to see how the local populations reacted, to see if there's economic benefit, sales of military equipment from the United States. This discussion about the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter possibly going to UAE. So you have to kind of navigate those very rocky waters and make things possible that weren't possible 6 months ago.
Dakota Wood is Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation on the phone with us. Dakota, for somebody coming into this who's not versed in foreign policy at all, you know, they know a little bit about what's going on in America and politics, but this kind of stuff is like, well, where do I even find these places on a map? Paint a picture as to why these deals are good for America and for our allies like Israel and bad for our enemies longer term like Iran.
Yeah, I try to bring this in my own thinking to local. You know, how do I view my world as an individual, as a family, as a local community? And a lot of the time this comes to quality of life, security, jobs. If I want jobs at home, I want to be able, in a business is able to sell goods and services, I have to have a market, right, that I can sell those things to. So the more people you have on your team in terms of other countries and regions, you have access to their markets. Where regions are in turmoil, politically unstable, the security picture is a mess, like when Islamic State, you know, controlled two-thirds of Syria and a third of Iraq and was threatening forces in Saudi Arabia. It is really hard to conduct good trade and to bring jobs back here at home and make sure that we have a high standard of living when the rest of the world is immersed in upheaval. So United States foreign policy should always have in mind, how does it benefit Americans back here at home and St. Louis and Tulsa and Colorado Springs, right? And so that's why we need to stay engaged. So the point earlier about an America First policy is not isolationist by any stretch of the imagination. It is how do we arrange agreements with other countries and a U.S. presence that ultimately benefits the United States? And usually that is achieving political stability, the reduction of fighting between countries. I mean, Israel has been at war 6 or 7 times with Arab neighbors who have tried to eliminate the state of Israel. And so the deal with the peace agreement with Egypt in the 1970s is because Israel won that military conflict and the Egyptians really needed to sue for peace. That followed on with Jordan in the early 1990s. And it's been that long now since we've had, you know, some kind of a peace agreement. So this outreach of peaceful negotiations and productive relationships between Israel and other countries, or our involvement in Afghanistan or Iraq or, you know, any other place in the world, is always to make sure that we've got a secure environment back home and we've got good trading partners and access to those foreign markets.
Dakota, I was paging through the Heritage Foundation Twitter feed. I found a final item I wanted to ask you about, mm-hmm. and it has ties both to the international sphere and one of our enemies, whether the Democratic Party and Joe Biden think China is an existential threat or not is kind of beside the point, because I think all Americans realize they are, whether it's the China virus issue or whether it's trade or whether it's the massive army they're promoting and the islands they're literally building in the South China Sea or whatever it may be. And this has ties back to national issues as well. And the tweet was about Heritage is asking, you know, do you still think Black Lives Matter is harmless? And the story is about the fact that one of the Black Lives Matter, the official organization, is its co-founders is teaming up with a pro-communist China group to lobby for policies designed to take America down. And the problem, Dakota, is you can't criticize Black Lives Matter because they so cleverly name themselves that you're called a racist. But this has nothing to do with that, does it, Dakota? It has to do with somebody in America, part of a very interesting populist uprising group, teaming up with communist China to actually lobby our government?
Yeah, so it's always the exploitation of language, you know, taking something that would be good and twisting that in a way that serves your own agenda. And so that's like with this name of Black Lives Matter. Well, of course, lives matter. You know, of course, we don't want to be racist and prejudicial in our daily lives and those sorts of things. But when you look at the actual platform, the agenda of the Black Lives Matter organization, it's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. Anarchic, it's fascist, it's, you know, communist in its leanings. I mean, it's just out and out bad. So now if you're a capital like Beijing or Moscow, you know, the political masters in those countries, you're going to look for opportunities to fund and support groups that lead to the destabilization of America. And so the marriage of these, whether it's Xi Jinping and the Communist Chinese Party in Beijing and Black Lives Matter or something that Putin is doing to support some group in the United States, it's a win for both of those groups. BLM and like-minded organizations get funding and support and expertise or cyber support or whatever to forward their agenda. And a government like the Communist Party in Beijing gets benefit out of that as well. So I think by shining the light on these kinds of odious relationships and the danger that they present to average everyday Americans who are trying to live peaceful, productive lives, it is a critically important public service. And we just need to be aware that these things are going on in the background. It's not some, you know, conspiracy theory sort of weird stuff. This stuff has happened between countries for centuries. It was certainly a part of the Cold War, where various communist movements would try to undermine democratically elected republic forms of government. And it continues on today in the modern context.
Fantastic. Great roundup there. Dakota Wood, Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much again, Dakota, for joining us on the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate all the incredible comprehensive insight. Have a great rest of your
great
week.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.